We're going to go ahead and call tonight's meeting of Economic Development, Planning, Education, Employment, Arts, and Agriculture Committee to order. Deputy Clerk Mahler, can you please call the roll?
Chair Sperry.
Present.
Deputy Chair Litz.
Here.
Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Corcoran. Legislator Hewitt.
Here.
Legislator Stewart.
Here.
Legislator Walz. You have 5 members present, 2 absent.
Thank you, and let's now all join each other together in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So before we get into the meeting, I just wanted to remind everybody about the structure of our committee meetings. Priorities given to committee members for discussion and questions. Resolution sponsors are also given priority for discussion and feedback, and it's up to the chair's discretion to open up the discussion to non-members of the committee. And please use your microphone so that your audio can be heard on the live stream. So the first thing we need to do is approve the April 2nd meeting minutes. Is there any discussion or questions?
I'll make the motion to approve.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great, thank you. Next, we will have our presentation from SUNY Ulster on the proposed 2024-25 school year budget. And we are joined tonight by Dr. Allison Buckley, the president of SUNY Ulster, Chief of Staff Jen Zell from the Board of Trustees, and Dean of Admission CJ Rio. Thank you. I'm sorry, it's the first time I said your last name out loud. Operations and Human Resource Management.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us and hear what we have planned for next year. I do want to say I've always very much felt that this is a very collaborative and friendly and supportive community that I've landed in. And I just wanted to thank you. Vice President Rio has done and his team have done tremendous work preparing the budget today. We're happy to answer any questions you have as we get going, but I'm going to turn it over for most of this to CJ.
All right. Thank you, everybody. My name is CJ Rio. I'm currently serving as the Acting Vice President for Administration at SUNY Ulster, and just want to kind of run through our budget real quick. Sure, absolutely. Sorry. Too much. All right. So our budget time, can I take this off of here? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. So our budget timeline right now, we currently have, we're currently at the legislature part, right in the middle there. We did our budget presentations throughout college. We did a lot of budget discussions, things like that. That took place through March of this year. Our Board of Trustees did vote on the budget in April, and now we are here to have your vote on this. So we are looking at a public hearing sometime in May, full legislative vote in June. After we get a full legislative vote, we will then send it off to SUNY, who will take July and August to review, and hopefully approval before our fiscal year starts on September 1st. I know Dr. Buckley is going to speak a little about enrollment.
So first step in building the budget is including our enrollment projections for next year. The college has a longstanding projection model that predominantly looks at a 3-year trailing average. And so we build, coming out of COVID, that's a conservative number, and we build our budget on that conservative 1547 FTE. The college community, though, the enrollment team, have enrollment goals that are higher than that, that we are working towards optimistically, but we always budget on the smaller number. The one thing I do want to mention, and it was suggested to bring up on this slide, So in 22-23, that 1,439 FTE equates to 6,100 students at SUNY Ulster. About 3,500 were credit students, and the remainder were non-credit. Our funding model, the full-time equivalent, is a state model that I like to say is a 19th century model based on students taking fall and spring courses, 15 credits a year, which is not the student body we serve. And I just wanted to highlight how large that 1439 is. I hope someday in my lifetime the state will change its model, but that's where we are right now. And the other thing with the 1547 that I did want to share, there are a number of really exciting initiatives underway. For example, in our workforce education division under Dr. Chris Marks, we are partnering with the county on bringing back the college's EMT program, and our goal would be then to move from EMT to paramedic. And of course, once you're a paramedic, taking that first nursing program is very different. If we can start accelerating from EMT to paramedic and an accelerated nursing program to really respond to some of the workforce needs, that's a couple of years out, but we're starting with the EMT right now.
All right, so in our budget right now, we have some expense considerations that we need to kind of look at. About 80% of our expenditures are personnel related between salary and fringe benefits. And these costs are continuing to rise because of negotiated labor agreements that we have. They're all contractually required, so our expenses are continuing to go up. And we also have rising costs of utilities, insurance costs, all that kind of stuff. So our expenses are going up considerably each year. Some things we've done to reduce our expenses is we've partnered with our foundation. They've been gracious enough to give us funding for things like technology that we would normally be funding out of operating. We've also budgeted some vacancy variances based on our historical vacancies and our timeline of hire. So that has helped us dramatically in the current year, and we're going to continue that trend forward. We're also increasing the use of grant funding to try and get grants to fund some of our operating costs and kind of curtail some of the expenses that we have. So as Dr. Buckley kind of mentioned, our funding model from the state is based on FTEs. Currently right now, due to the low enrollment environment that is kind of plaguing the nation right now, the state has been generous enough to grant us what's called a floor funding model, where they're giving us the same level that we got in the prior year. This amount, however, does not take into account the rising expenses that we have. So with that, our expenses are going up, but our state funding is staying flat. It doesn't take into account our rising expenses, doesn't take into account our collective bargaining agreements. There was an increase in direct aid for the state-operated campuses, the four-year schools, but they left the community colleges out of that. So, unfortunately, we're kind of left just with flat funding from the state. Our tuition revenue. We did budget for a full-time tuition increase of $100 per semester for $200 per year and a $10 per part-time credit hour increase. This is going to bring us to roughly $5,480 per year. It is below the current Pell Grant amount, and it is still below the statewide tuition average of $5,648. So you can kind of see our tuition revenue has gone up ever so slightly each year, but this is just a graph just kind of showing where our tuition revenue has gone the past 3 years. So our county support over the last couple of years, we are currently sitting at $6.9 million of county funding, and we are very appreciative of that. Last year, we did receive a $500,000 increase. It was flat at around $6.4 million the last number of years. This year, we did receive a $500,000 increase, which was about 7.8%. We are respectfully requesting a 3% increase this year of about $200,000, and that will put us at about $7.1 million for 24-25. You kind of see this is kind of a chart of our budgeted revenues here. You kind of see our tuition after the pandemic, our tuition revenues have gone down, and we are slowly starting to uptick those back up. The thing that really saved us is in 21-22 and 22-23, we did have a decent amount of federal aid through CARES funding and things like that. So that was able to help us bridge the gap in our low enrollment and get us through the pandemic. And now we are out of federal funding. We don't have any more federal funding coming in. So just another revenue source that we had to bridge us through the gap, and kind of this is where we currently are now. So our budget overall right now for 23-24 in the current year, we did budget for an $876,000 fund balance draw. We're looking projected right now about $500,000 is where we're sitting. Our 24-25 budget proposal that we have for you, that we're presenting to you now, is around a $775,000 budget draw, and that does include our hopeful request of a 3% tuition or 3% increase in county aid. And this is just a quick chart just showing our expenses going up throughout the years and also our revenues going up throughout the years as well. So for 24-25, we do have a proposed budget gap of around $775,000. Our fund balance as of August 31st, 2023, which is our last completed fiscal year, was about $7.3 million. New York State recommends that we maintain a fund balance of about 2 months worth of expenses. Currently, right now, our expenses fluctuate very much throughout the year when we're in session versus when we're not in session. So our May payroll versus our June payroll is about twice what June is. So that's why it's very hard just to say 2 months. So we average about 20% is what we're estimating, which is about just under $5.2 million. So we do have $2.1 million to appropriate. However, we're looking to draw about $500,000 this year and possibly $774,000 again for 24-25. So that's where we currently are right now, and that's why the requested increase from the county would be very appreciative. And we just want to thank you for your time, and if you have any questions. Correct, yes. Yes. Yep.
There have been years when the tuition has not increased, but what we want to try to do, and I think in some catch up, is we are so far below federal Pell Grant as a marker. That's what the United States Department of Education thinks it should cost you to educate, and they're never going to overpay. So I think we, for years, had perhaps kept tuition artificially low, and then when the pandemic hit, it was a very difficult storm to weather, but we had very sound financial management in our current team and our former team. That's what we're trying to make it manageable for students, but still keep pace.
Legislator Stewart, and please use your microphones, guys. Legislator Stewart, Legislator Litz, and then Legislator Nolan.
Okay, thank you. I was pleased to hear about your EMT program. That's exciting, great. I was wondering if you could answer two questions. One, what is the fate of your fashion design program? Mm-hmm. And I understand it may be being folded into another existing program, is that correct? Mm-hmm. So I'll let you explain that. And then I was also going to ask you, what is your largest or most popular, I guess for lack of a better word, program that, as far as enrollment?
Sure. So yes, our fashion program was in the art department. It was a small program that had 19 courses as a standalone associate's degree, and we struggled to have even 10 students in any single class. And so what the faculty, and it's a long process and a very thoughtful process that the faculty undertake in reimagining what the program could be. So we still have the fashion program as a component of the fine arts, of the fine art program within the art department. So what that did was reduce the number of courses that students would take, which allows us to keep the enrollment so that we can continue to do the work. It also fits very nicely with the micro-credential we have in cut and sew, which is a technical aspect. So it is still there. It's changed and evolved a bit. As far as largest programs, I think the three largest ones for the college would be the nursing program, the vet tech program, and then individual studies, which is a program that is designed for students who are starting college at SUNY Ulster with the intention to transfer to a university because it's the most cost-effective way to get your bachelor's degree. And so when you look at the three, individual studies is really kind of a broad program that allows students to specifically target what they need to transfer.
Thank you, Dr. Buckley.
Thanks.
Legislator Litz.
Yes, thank you. In years past budgets, there was proposals to increase the tuition $100 a semester. And in the past, the legislature voted to increase your stipend to cover that $100. But I see this year's budget, there's an increase of $100 per semester and an increased ask.
So I think there are two. And the first thing I want to say when you think about the tuition dollars, so more than 40% of our credit students participate in the federal grant programs, Pell Grants, SCOG, their other work study. So when you keep your tuition dollars artificially low, when they don't cover the cost, actually what it means is the funds that are available to our students are being left on the table. So it's federal funding that we need as an enrollment-driven and tuition-driven institution to keep pace. I think what we have tried to do, and CJ, if you want to answer this, you can. What we have tried to do here is sort of walk the line between the different revenue streams and balancing the risk. So I think when you see and look at COVID, when you are completely tuition dependent, the drop in tuition is absolutely jarring to the whole operation of the college. But by spreading out the where the revenue comes from, it cushions us a bit. The other thing I would say is the college is also very actively pursuing additional federal funding lines that so we are not purely dependent on funds from the U.S. Department of Education. I was in Louisville, Kentucky last month and had great conversations with the Department of Energy, who reached out and said, we have money and we are desperate to give it away to rural serving institutions, which SUNY Ulster is, to look at workforce and clean energy programs. And we promise it'll be easy. And they didn't lie. So we're pursuing clean energy. We were one of the first community colleges in the state of New York to partner with Department of Agriculture on bringing in new funds for educational programs that are designed to serve SNAP recipients in Ulster County. So there are 10,000 SNAP recipients. This is net new money coming into Ulster County. It's not a zero-sum game. And we reached out. We received a grant from the Association of Community College Trustees. And we are, with partnership from the county as a very willing partner in working with us in this work, we've been identified as a real innovator as a small institution in the state of New York. At first, when we applied for the grant, they were like, oh, that's not going to work in New York. And we were like, it will, because we have strong partnerships with the county. So we're looking at other areas, too, to diversify that revenue stream.
Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. Yes, I was wondering, what was your highest enrollment year or figures? And I assume it's pre-COVID, and how far back we would be. And then I have another question, which is more related to this energy realm, which is, are you saving any money? Because I think the college has been an innovator in switching over to some alternative energy sources. And have we realized any savings in dollars there?
Yep. So I'll take the first one, and then I'll hand it over to you for the operational piece. So, and I'll look at Jen before my time, but and I'm going from memory, that the college enrollment really peaked in that period between 2009 and 2010. In the peak of the Great Recession, you saw this community colleges nationwide. We are not yet back to our pre-COVID. So you started seeing after that Great Recession a gradual decline. It coincided with a decline in Great Recession. People stopped having babies and the decline in the traditional age student population. We are, I would say, cautiously optimistic that we will start turning the corner. And our target is to really get us to that pre-COVID year and then move from there.
Sure. When I can talk about savings a little bit. So we have throughout campus, we've removed basically all of our fluorescent lighting with ballasts and all that stuff, and have switched almost everything over to LED in terms of lighting. We do have a new HVAC system going into Hardenburg Hall. Actually, that'll be starting Monday with heat pumps built into it. So that's a great savings. I also am signing a contract. Actually, tomorrow it'll be on my desk to put another heat pump on top of Vanderlyn Hall. So, yes, I was actually just talking to Amanda LaValle, and with the help of our purchasing department, we're working on going out to bid for two hybrid minivans. So we're making some great progress there in terms of energy savings. So.
Any other questions? Thank you, guys. Thank you
so
much.
You.
So now we'll get into the resolutions on the agenda for this evening. The first resolution is resolution number 167, establishing a policy to dedicate revenue generated from the collection of occupancy tax to Housing and Transportation Initiatives, Department of Finance. Discussions or questions? Legislator Uchitel.
Hi, thank you, Chair Sperry. So this resolution was referred from Ways and Means to back to Economic Development. The conversation was around the fact that our prior occupancy tax law had a fair bit of extra language in it that was when we replaced our law with the, you know, when we replaced that language, there was a section about remitting a certain amount of the revenue to tourism. And this had been something that had been essentially that there was tourism spending that had to reach a certain level that would be comparable to that, you know, to that remittance. It was something that we always reached. There was never, when this was removed from the occupancy tax language, it was never intended, nor did it effectively remove any spending from tourism, but there was a concern that we should still keep a mention of it, even though obviously we're not going to stop spending on tourism, we're not going to cut any of those budgets, and that law already passed. This is just a matter of the remittance, but it seemed like folks would be more comfortable if we actually explicitly put that in here, and so I asked our clerk to take some of the language from the prior occupancy tax law that and now put it into our remittance resolution here. So that's the only change here. It is on the second page of the presented resolution, and it just basically outlines that just like the old law did, an equivalent to 10% will be, you know, from what's generated here, will be deposited into the general fund. And I'm supportive of this. It was, you know, again, the prior iteration didn't take any money away from tourism, but folks seemed like they would be more comfortable with this. So that's what we did.
Legislator Collins.
Yeah, I looked at those numbers too, and I believe the tourism is about 30% of the occupancy tax right now. So it's significantly higher than the 10% that's required. So it's not going away.
Any other questions? Is there a motion to amend the resolution?
I have a question for Director Berger. I was wondering, with a major increase in revenue in tourism, would you be able to handle it, and are there ideas on increased funding for tourism?
There's so many mic options over there for you.
Yes. We would certainly welcome increased funding for tourism. And as you know, our focus is moving towards, you know, developing programs, promotions, and work that's dedicated to sustainable tourism and the outcomes achieved by that. And certainly increased funding will help us to be able to put more money towards a plan that could perhaps be longer than what was envisioned, and setting goals that are farther out than what we're undertaking right now.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Legislator Clinton. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any abstentions? We're good to go. We have a second vote. Oh, so a motion to adopt the resolution as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, moving on, resolution number 208 was withdrawn by sponsors this morning. Resolution 209, setting a public hearing to satisfy the public participation requirements of the Community Development Block Grant Program, CDBG, Department of Economic Development. Questions?
Make the motion.
Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
I'll make the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. The next resolution is resolution number 210, scheduling a public hearing as required under Article 25AA of the Agriculture and Markets Law on the addition of lands to agriculture districts, to be held June 18th, 2024 at 7:10 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the public can be heard, and providing direct notice to affected municipalities, Department of Planning.
So moved.
Second.
Is that a motion to adopt the resolution?
Adopt.
And a motion to second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Resolution number 211, amending capital project number 677, Golden Hill Transportation Improvements, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Planning. Questions or discussion? So this is amending the capital project to increase design work by $22,000 to provide for preferred concept design, eliminating right turn lane and median. And this was a preference by both the City of Kingston and the county. Correct, Director Doyle?
So it was a preference by the City of Kingston, and the county is sort of bound by that because it's their road. So we have to move in their section. We've been working with the engineering department and the Department of Public Works. And the suggestion came about because of the difficulty, quite frankly, of using a standard traffic signal at this location because of a number of utilities that are on various poles. So we're literally moving to a mass design for the signal itself. And when we look at mass designs, we start to move that mass design out into areas in order. The longest mast that's available is about 65 feet. And we have to control a number of different locations with respect to that mast. So that coupled with the fact that the city doesn't believe that the right turn lane is necessary, and we've done some turning movements to make sure our buses can get in and out, leaves us to a situation where we have to do additional work relative to that design.
Great. Thank you. Any questions?
I'll move for adoption.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Let me let the record show that legislators who was out of the room. Thank you. All right. Next is resolution number 212, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $20,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county Creighton Manning Engineering LLP Department of Planning. Discussions or question?
Madam Chair, since we have the Director of Planning here, I was wondering if he could maybe just explain what's happening here.
Sure.
Sure. This Creighton Manning LLC is doing work for the Tulsa County Transportation Council. This project essentially deals with the issue on the Route 9W corridor. That study runs from where Aldi's is on 9W extension all the way up through Bradalone, which is past the 209-299 intersection. The additional money has to do with the fact that we've asked the consultants to do additional work relative to some visualizations of what improvements would look like out there so that we can have better buy-in from the municipality and from the public as it relates to that. We're almost done with the study. There are substantial changes that we're proposing relative to ability to get through that particular corridor. We've worked with the Department of Transportation, New York State Department of Transportation, with respect to improvements on the signalization out there. And we have a driving vision for that corridor moving into the future to improve it as it relates to bicycle and pedestrian safety. We're trying to set the community up. If you recall, the City of Kingston just got a raise grant for around $21 million. Trying to set this community up for a transformative grant to change that corridor into more of an urban corridor, which is bicycle and pedestrian friendly as well as car friendly as well.
Director Doyle, thank you so much for that explanation, but that explanation is for resolution number 213.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So 212 is the contract for the work mentioned in resolution 211.
Oh, I apologize.
So it's the capital project amendment includes plus or minus of 10% contingency.
That's correct. And I apologize for that. I didn't realize we actually had a back-to-back resolution. Yeah, that would literally, you've amended the capital project. Now you're amending Creighton Manning's contract to provide that work. And my apologies to the committee. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Chair. Of course. So, Legislator Litz, I know you had your hand up before. Was that?
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to thank Planning Director Doyle for the explanation on 213.
Gotcha. And Legislator Nolan.
See if everybody was on their toes. That's how you file.
I was also paying attention.
Also, I just want everybody to note the fact that I wasn't like shutting him down mid sentence. I just wanted to.
Very cordial.
Appreciate the very spacious chairing of the space.
Okay, so we need to adopt the resolution. We need a motion to adopt the resolution 212.
So moved.
Seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Legislator Hewitt, you were out of the room when we voted on Resolution 211. Would you like to record your vote? Thank you.
I'm a yes.
Thank you. Now we will move towards Resolution 213, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $10,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Creighton Manning Engineering LLP Department of Planning. This is as earlier described by Director Doyle.
expanding scope to include enhanced graphics associated with recommendations in the corridor plan for $10,000 and extend term to July 31st, 2024.
I will move it for adoption.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Director Doyle, you are dismissed.
I think we have one more.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
I'll try to get this resolution correctly. We can start over if you'd like. But.
All right. So we're moving on to Resolution 214, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with New York State Housing Trust Fund Corporation, existing as a subsidiary of the New York State Housing Finance Agency, for funding for implementation of a leading and led program grant agreement, amending the 2024 Ulster County Budget Department of Planning. Discussions or questions? Explanation from Director Doyle.
This is an allocation. This is a pilot program started by the state of New York. It's an allocation. It's 100% state money. It is for rental properties, not ownership properties, basically within the Kingston area code. And it deals with essentially trying to make sure that we can address situations, particularly where there's high lead levels in children, but it also has to do with adults as well. This program is going to be a collaboration between the planning department and the health department, which has a regulatory responsibility for children with lead. The implementation here is not going to be simple because it's construction work and you have to do construction work associated with lead remediation with appropriate contractors. So we're still having discussions about how we're going to implement this, because having the county engaged in trying to manage contractors with multiple contractors with respect to landlords is going to be a difficult uphill climb for us. So we're having that conversation with the health department and with internally, and looking to see how we're going to move to implement this. There's a minimal amount of money for administration. So this is going to be a real challenge for implementation. Good news, although bad news in some instances, is we have a longer time frame for this in terms of implementation, to the end of 2026.
Great. We have a couple of questions. Legislator Stewart, Legislator Litz, and then Legislator Collins.
Thank you, Chair. I was wondering if the director could explain the process that the properties involved. How do you select those properties, basically?
I think where we're at right now, we'll look at the high-risk individuals that are out there now, and move those properties to a priority, thinking of those that essentially have been looked at as it relates to individuals that have high lead levels. That said, there are regulatory responsibilities that come in with that in terms of landlord remediation automatically, et cetera, so we'd be somewhat concerned about that.
So our special consideration or points, if you want to put it that way, granted to properties that have children living on the premises. I'm just kind of curious how you, like, say, determine this property should get the remediation, whereas this property should be lower down on our level.
I think we're going to rely on the health department with respect to that, and also with respect to the amount of lead remediation that's necessary. Typically, when you look at this, and I'm not an expert here, I'm parroting the health department people that are experts on this. The concern that we have is not only with interior lead remediation, but we may run into situations which have exterior lead remediations that can get very expensive relative to that. So we may look at what we can accomplish given budget, as well as what we can accomplish during regulatory responsibility, with the responsibility of the landlord to initiate the repair.
And are you confident that the health department has the staff and manpower available for this?
I would let the health department speak to that, but there is a great deal of concern, I think, both at the planning department level and at the health department level about the capacity to implement that. Nevertheless, the opportunity to essentially apply for a grant where there was an allocation effectively assuring you that you would get it, and recognizing the problems that are out there with respect to lead in the Kingston area, we felt that it was an absolute imperative that we apply and look for solutions to how this is going to be implemented.
Thank you.
Legislator Licks?
Well, I was going to move it for adoption.
Okay, we're not there yet. Legislator Collins?
You said Kingston area. Can you define the area, what that means? Is it zip code? Is it municipality? What's the boundary?
We believe that it's zip code, which is extensive, by the way, for the 1 year.
Legislator Nolan?
I'd just like to say, from my background as a pediatrician, that if we have children that are showing elevated lead levels, that I completely agree with using that as the triage variable. And I would go with children even to make sure we get everybody less than, I'd say, 12, but even teenage years before we go to any adults. It's not because adults aren't important to me, but the data really does show that the individuals during development are particularly susceptible. And it's such a pain to me to realize that we're still using children to determine where there's lead poisoning. There are ways that we should have found those apartments and those buildings before the children showed up with elevated lead levels in their blood.
Thank you. Legislator Litz?
I'll move it for adoption.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you. Good night. Okay, now we are moving into Resolution 215, approving the execution of a contract for $100,000 entered into by the County United Way of Ulster County, Inc., Office of Employment and Training. Discussion or questions? We also have Ms. Williams here to discuss the program further, if she wants to. Legislator Litz.
No, I was just going to state that, 215, 216, it appears the only difference is one is for year-round youth employment and the other one is for summer youth employment. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So that's the only difference between the two.
That is true. We have two programs. We do our year-round program, which is our YEP, Youth Employment Program, and our Young Adult Employment Program. So that is the $100,000 contract. That is payroll services provided by the United Way. The funding that is here for the contract is solely for youth salaries.
Legislator Hewitt.
That means United Way doesn't run the program, just the payroll?
Just the payroll. We run the program. They are the employer of record and run payroll every 2 weeks for the young people.
Cool. Thanks.
Any other questions?
I'll move it for adoption.
Okay. Second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Also, I just wanted to let everybody know the committee previously approved resolution number 11 of 2024, which authorized the intermunicipal agreements for the programs. I don't know if you guys recall, but some members took issue with the gun violence prevention initiative, and Dr. Williams, Director Williams,
I'll accept that.
I will. Dr. Williams provided a doc on the program after the February meeting. And the county actually calls it the Greater Vision Initiative, and you guys should have received this flyer via email after our last meeting. So just in case you wanted to look that up.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you again for your support.
We have one more resolution on the agenda, resolution number 216, approving the execution of a contract for $323,000 entered into by the County United Way of Ulster County, Inc., Office of Employment and Training. Any discussion or questions?
I'll move it for adoption.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. I don't have any notes of forthcoming resolutions. Does anybody have any new business they'd like to? Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I wanted to just say a word, if I could, about resolution number 168. It was a successful petition to discharge on the occupancy tax law with the proposed change in the proportion to the 2080. And I have some concern that that resolution as petitioned to the floor, it may not have the support to be adopted. So I'm in conversations with the clerk about changes that we might make that might make it more acceptable to some members of the body, and which we could change that would not require another public hearing, and whether we would have to go to the point of some changes that would require another hearing. So I think everyone that is here I would like to speak with, but I can do that outside of the meeting. But I just want, it's a resolution that's very pertinent to this committee, so I wanted to say it publicly here so it's in the records.
Great, thank you. Any other business, new business, old business, thoughts, feelings?
Hearing none, I'll make a motion for adjournment.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Nobody wants to spend more time with me? Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.